Hey, my name's Sean Chaler. That's my friend Chris Ford, a.k.a. The Comfortable Geek. And it's comfy. Is that a duvet, Chris? That's a nice duvet. And I don't know. Is it a blanket?
It's just a big blanket.
It's a big blanket. That's kind of what a duvet is. I have a question I'm going to come to after. I'll finish the introduction first.
I've never even said the word duvet before. I don't know what.
First time for everything. Welcome to Avatar The Last Podcasters. Today, as we alluded to, it's been like a month ago, but in my head, it was just like not last episode, but the one before that, because the last episode just all runs together, that we talked about ranking voice actors. So we're going to rank voice acting in Avatar, The Last Airbender, that series only, and just the overall quality of the voice actor's work. And it'll be
in
great.
In Avatar.
And Chris, the reason I say the word duvet is because somebody the other day told me that it is now, in some places or in some families, it is weird to not to have a thin sheet and then a comforter. I've always had a thin sheet on my bed. Always, always, always. In fact, sometimes I prefer just a thin sheet. And some people apparently don't do that. Is that weird? It's weird.
What did you grow up calling something like this?
That I would call
a blanket.
I would call that a. See, to me, that looks thicker. That looks like a duvet or a comforter. It looks thicker.
Yeah, or a comforter.
A comforter.
Oh, it's pretty thick.
Yeah, and then the blanket. The blanket's like a single layer thing, and then the thin sheet is the thin sheet.
Okay. Yeah, growing up, I called the thin, whether it's the fitted sheet or the flash sheet, a blanket. It's like, oh, I need a blanket. And I call something like this a cover. Like, it was just called a cover. It wasn't until, honestly, I met my wife that she was like, no, this is called a blanket or a comforter. I'm like, no, that's the cover.
The covers is like, the generic
I would say
term.
I am wrong, but.
To me, the covers is the, if you say the cover, I just, that's anything, any of those, that's the bigger bucket. But anyway, somebody said the other day, I said, we're having a discussion about like how, you know, in a couple, there's always one of you that's like freezing cold and one of you that's boiling hot. And that's what makes a perfect couple. And I'm the cold one. Heather's the warm one. I'm always cold. Sometimes, though, I do just like to sleep with the thin sheet, and they looked at me funny, and they're like, what do you mean by the thin sheet? I was like, yeah, you got the thing that matches the fitted sheet, the same material, same color. It's the thin sheet. And sometimes I like to just have that, but I'm always too cold. But I like just being cocooned in that one thing, and they're like, nope, people don't do that. You don't have a thin sheet?
That sheet is, honestly, it's a waste of materials, and it's just pure American waste, because it is so wasteful. No one needs that thin sheet. Just get the fitted sheet. No one needs it. I don't put that on my, they're just in my closet, because, you know, they come with it.
Chris, I want your thin sheets. I want them all. I want to have. I slept in the upper bedroom of an old farmhouse, and Chris, I assume the climate in Tulsa is reasonably similar to the climate west of Wichita, so you get some nasty humid summer nights when tornadoes happen, and I want something on me, but it would be like 85 degrees in that room at night, because there's no AC up there, just fans, and so I would, but I want something on me, so I'd just have the thin sheet, just that's it.
I do
just
think
touch me.
I have slept with thin sheets before, especially if I sleep on the couch, right? People come over, they put a little thin sheet on you. So I am familiar with it, especially if it's hot, especially if it's like, you know, my dad kept the house at like 75, which is ludicrous to me.
But, you mean just in the summer to like save electricity? Or year round?
Pretty much 70, 75 in summer, 72 in the winter.
Okay, that's not far off from me. I'm probably a 72, 73 summer, 69, 70 winter. I'm pretty toasty over here.
I'm I'm 68 or 69 year round.
I want the cool touch of the thin sheet on me. And some of them wick heat, Chris. They're magical. Some of them wick heat away from your body like a thermal thing on a CPU in your computer. It's incredible. You got to try one sometime. Anyway, let's know what the right temperature of your house is. And why it is a flat 70 degrees. 70, 69. I'm too mature to say 69. I'll say 70. And... yeah, Chris, what have you been up to for like a month?
Been playing Yu-Gi-Oh! I feel like...
also, I have.
I might just have been playing... I don't even know if you have Nintendo Online, but I think I am, like, planning, like, all right, I gotta get my deck right. Then I'm gonna get Nintendo Online and challenge Sean. Because I'm sure I'm gonna lose anyway. Because, I don't know, you're fancy over there. I made I have a regular kind of deck that I usually always build. And then I made a direct attack deck. And that deck, sometimes it's fun to play. I played a game earlier today where it was like, it was also a burn deck, but had weird strategies of like, if your opponent has a card effect that gains some life points, do it negative instead. And then they had a trap card that gave me 3,000 life points, but instead it took away 3,000 life points. So, like, the game was just, like, whose stupid strategy is going to pan out first?
When two stupid strategies collide.
Yeah, who's going to luck into a win?
Chris, I don't have Nintendo Online, but I will pay the $15 or whatever for the entire year.
Oh, my God. $15. Oh, okay.
I have no idea. What is it these days? Surely it's 20 bucks a year or something like that.
I don't know.
I don't either. I would happily do that just for some nostalgia. And then right now I don't really have a deck because I modded my Switch a little while back, but I didn't preserve my saves right. So I started fresh. But Chris, I'm trying to force myself to use the story deck just to try to see and experience more cards. And the problem with that is that they're awful. They're all garbage and I hate them all. But they have introduced me to a few cards I didn't know about that I think could be handy in my regular deck, which is the point.
Yeah.
And so, but I've saved all my store points. So at some point I'll go rebuild what has been. But
I was starting down the road of using the story deck, and then got to the point where like I was just reading too much. Like I'm like, I don't feel like for this one duel, I don't feel like understanding the mechanics of this deck. And so I would just like, nope, I'm done.
I've only made it through the first, I'm going to call it season, I don't really know what to call them, of the six. And there's just a lot of garbage decks. And then I think it's going to get worse. I think we're going to get into janky, like, nope, this deck has this very specific win condition that if you're not familiar with and you're not chasing it, it's going to be hard. So I think it's going to get annoying and I'll probably quit at some point, but we'll see. We'll see. Anyway, let's talk voice actors because speaking of voice, I've got a limited one here and it's going to disappear. We've had every sickness. I got my first bout of, like, everything coming home from daycare at once. We've had pink eye and cold. And then yesterday I had to pick my son up from daycare because he was throwing up. So we have had the whole gamut. And this weekend is his birthday party. So I had warned all of my guests. I Lysoled the house. Come at your own risk. But anyway, let's talk voice actors. We're going to rank voice actors. We're going to snake from 5 to 1. Chris will do the odds first, and I'll do the evens first. And then we'll do some honorable mentions when we're done.
Sounds groovy. My number five is Mae Whitman, who plays Katara. Mae Whitman... from, I don't want to spoil my list, but she does such a great job. It's interesting. So I put out into my recent comments in a little bit. I put out onto Reddit, like, hey, who's the best voice actor in Atla? And honestly, I got a lot of responses, a lot of opinions and stuff. But shout out to the Avatar Reddit. Lots of great opinions there. But someone was talking about Katara, Megumi Katara, and how, like, I mean, I feel like her voice acting in season one, like, isn't that great, but season two and three it is. And, like, I pretty much agree with that. But it's, like, it's almost a testament to that character and that character that the growth of that character goes on. The way Mae Whitman does such a great job, especially being, like, in season two and three, she is so much coming in into being that character, Katara. And there are so many lines that I can think of, you know, that I would never, ever turn my back on people who need me. That line could come off so cheesy, and she delivers it so well.
She crushes it.
Yeah. And then even her threat to Zuko, like, I feel like Katara grew up so much in season two and three. And a lot of that is reflected in Mae Whitman's voice acting. Oh, and then I have to mention, because I mentioned it last week, one of my favorite scenes, her scene with her father. Like, Mae Whitman just freaking killed that scene. But she's just talking to her dad about how, you know, he went off to war and they needed them, but, you know, she understood the world needed him. Like, it's such a, she just killed that scene so well.
I'm going to preface my list by saying that, like, a criteria is, obviously it's a subjective, nebulous criteria that I'm using here, but I tried to think of, like, who keeps me immersed? Who makes me forget that I'm watching 2D animated characters on screen and makes me feel like they're a real person? And that was my informant as I tried to make this list. And my number five was Jack DeSena. He does a great job of... He makes the character feel real. He makes his character come alive. I don't think he has the high highs of some of the other characters on my list of, like, knockout blow lines that he crushes. He has some scenes that he does really well, but I don't think he has kind of the high highs. But he sells the character beautifully well.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, I think, and Jack is, the thing about Jack that he does so well as a voice actor is, you know, some of the improvisation, like a lot of that stuff he does isn't in script, and that's a true testament to how great of an actor he is. And I mean, he brings the comedy. Like, he goes, I think, out of his way to bring the comedy to the show.
It all feels, whether it's comedic or in those moments where it's going for a different feeling, but it feels sincere, right? It feels like he's able to tap into those actual feelings when he's delivering. And one of those lines we mentioned where he's talking to Toph about Katara is probably still the best example of... It's not like a big, boisterous portrayal or delivery or anything. It's just something a little out of the ordinary, but he makes it feel like you're sitting there with him and listening to two real close friends actually talk to each other. It's very touching.
That's a great point. Yeah.
Number four for me, Chris, is Mae Whitman. Ditto to what you said. I think the only reason I put her above Jack is I do think she has some lines that would be much harder to deliver. That Jack maybe wouldn't knock those out of the park, but I think she has more of those, more like, you know, dripping with drama type lines. And I think she does
very true.
Does a great job. So that's really the only thing that I split between those two and why. They make a great brother-sister pair because of their independent performance, and then because you buy their relationship with each other too. I feel like they needed to be right next to each other somewhere in the list.
Mae Whitman is terrific. My number four. So, you know, you're talking about your kind of criteria for this list. One of the things I was considering when making this list of, can I imagine another great voice actor doing the same role, or any other voice actor doing the same role. Like, is this person's role in Avatar just like, no one, it'll be hard to touch this person.
They like make it, they make it special. They impart their selves into it.
Yeah. And it's funny. Oh, that actually kind of probably contradicts my number one. But my dang it, now I'm spoiled. My number four.
Yeah, that was a bad spoiler.
My number four is, there's many reasons why I make these other things that's a consideration.
Sure.
Number four is Gray Delisle as Azula. She's just so, one thing, she's a freaking legend. That's probably the first like legend on my list. I mean, Gray Delisle, geez, like what has she not touched?
Yeah, me at Icky Vicky.
Yeah. I mean, she does, and like all these things sound in her range, like Catwoman, Icky, you know, Vicky from Fairly Odd Parents. Gosh, now I'm blanking all the different things she's done.
But like your whole childhood.
Yeah, she also voiced Ming Hua in Legend of Korra. But Gray does such a great job in this character. Like the snarkiness in her voice, the superiority in her voice, just like she just freaking nails it. She's so good as Azula. Like, man, like when I, just the times that she's been being manipulative, like I'm not sure that, like, you know, May's great, but like if May Whitman was trying to do the same thing, I don't know if I could, you know, buy it as much with as Gray does it. Yeah, and we talked before last week about how she was so good in that last scene where she's crying and breathing fire.
Where she's losing it, yeah.
Yeah.
But that scene, yeah. You kind of said it with May and the other scenes. That is a scene that would be just really awkward and uncomfortable cringe if it was not delivered well. Yeah, but it's not. It's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Just love it.
Nah, that's it. That's not it. That's my number four.
Yeah. Hit me with your three.
Oh yeah, I forgot. We're snaking this. My number three. I feel bad because I was like, oh, let me look up, because on a Reddit thing, I was like, let me have a picture of the cast. You know, just go to IMDb, pull up the cast, and I saw a name. Like I already had my list created, or at least had the people in the list, including honorable mentions. I was like, holy crap, I forgot that name. And this name totally deserves to be on this list. Not only, but needs to be high up. And that is, because no one else on the planet could probably do what this actor does. And that is Dee Bradley Baker as every animal in
that's incredible.
In the Avatarverse.
That's as well incredible, as, and I didn't think of that.
And I always forget the nomad's name. Chong? I always forget, even though you cosplayed as him.
Oh, yeah. Chong, yeah. Yeah, you're right.
Okay. And he does a great job in that, too.
I have to always think, I was like, well, it's not Cheech, but it's Chong. It's not Cheech, right. Yeah.
And he's even good in that role. It's like, hey, don't freak out what I'm about to say. But I think that kid's the Avatar.
The kid might be the Avatar.
Yeah. But one thing, Dee Bradley Baker is an avid supporter of the arts of voice acting. He has a whole website of like, I want to be a voice actor.com to like coach people and stuff to show them how to be a voice actor. So he gets skills for that as well. But no one else could do what he does. Like he brings life to every single character in the show. While he doesn't, you know, get those, you know, juicy lines and stuff like that, it is still quite the achievement that he has to bring these characters, these animals to life.
At least he gets to star in a whole episode, you know, that's, he got to shine for a moment.
Yeah.
I didn't think of that at all. That's brilliant. He's not on my list. I'll spoil that part. No, I'm embarrassed. That's sad for me. Chris, my number three. My number three is Grey Delisle. All the things that you said, and she's probably... What's the word? I'm going to call it like a charisma, and it's basically what you just tried to describe. I'm just trying to put a word to it. There's just a charisma or something, a je ne sais quoi that she has. That
je ne sais quoi.
Yeah, it stands out just from any other character in the way that it's acted in the show. It jumps off the page or off the TV, and she is perfect for that role in the same way that she's perfect for Icky Vicky. I'll say the only thing that keeps me from going just a little higher, I mean three, right? It's no slouch. Just sometimes she does feel a little cartoonish, and that's a very minor critique. She sounds like a cartoon villain, and that's fine.
I think honestly, out of all the characters in the show, she probably gets the most cartoonish villain. I don't mind that at all. In fact, I'm clearly on board
with it. Yeah.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Like, I'm thinking of, like, her Agni Kai, like, after she strikes Zuko, and she's just, like, full-on, like, villain of, like, oh, poor Zuzu, like, she talked to Katara, like, I forget what she says, like, I know you're trying to help him, but, you know, I really think he needs to see our family physician. It's funny that she says physician. It's funny because I am like, well, that's, you know, writing this, you know, this story. And then so I think of like words. I'm like, well, no, I don't think I would use that word. It's not a word that would be used. But Avatar does this all the time. Use stuff like physician. Like you could use healer, but she said physician.
It is something that never dawned on me until this very moment. I think that the thing that makes it okay that,
to see, you know, the family podiatrist.
That's
the pediatrician.
Be sure to stop at the pharmacy on your way out of the inner circle. I think what makes it work is the fact that she is a teenage girl, right? And I think that's what the part that makes the over the topness fine, or makes it play, makes you not think of it as a bad thing.
Yeah.
That's my three. My number two is Mako, for obvious reasons. He doesn't have super, I'm going to keep calling him high highs, but I don't know what else to call him. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have a ton of super duper intense lines, but the ones that he does have, he knocks out of the park. And it's such a dramatic extreme from the rest of his character. Like, whatever you do to that fish, I'll inflict on you tenfold. It's such a stretch.
That might be his.
Yeah, go ahead.
Say that might be his. That might be his loudest kind of line delivery.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else is kind of just like it's here, but yeah. Sorry. Go ahead.
No, that's the point. Is it's such a far cry from the rest of his character, but it still sells it, and maybe even more so that it's so far away from the rest of his character. Or other times, even when there's like tension or something, he's still here. But he still sells it like it's here. You know, when he's talking to Zuko, he's still pretty well here. Like, he's, you know, wavering just a little bit. But it's like he doesn't have to change tones to make me feel all these different extreme emotions. And I can't explain why, but that's what Iroh needs. That's the perfect Iroh. And so, he's great. He's my number two. Enough said.
Yeah. He's good. He's pretty good.
It's pretty good.
Not on my list, but he's pretty good. My number two. My number two. Now, part of being Chris Ford, aka the Objective Geek, is knowing when you're not objective, but maybe you are objective. I don't know. But it's knowing your potential biases. And if I look around this room, I'm staring, gosh, I'm staring straight at things that Mark Hamill has voiced. And so I'm a huge Batman fan, and my love of Batman starts with Batman the Animated. Well, I won't say it starts. One of the biggest starts is Batman the Animated Series. And Mark Hamill plays a small character called the Joker, who he has voiced for about 30-something years in various incarnations. And so I do have quite the attachment to that character. But that being said, he's so freaking good. And thing is, he probably has like a tenth of the lines that everyone else does. Maybe not even that. Maybe a fifth of everyone else on this list.
Maybe a fifth, yeah. Like,
I know, right? Like,
could be less. It could be somewhere in between a fifth and a tenth. It's a small percentage. Yeah. I'll give you that much.
Like, if I compare, okay. Well, okay. I should be able to do this math real quick. Aang is in every, well, Zuko's in about every episode.
But even when he's in an episode, he rarely dominates the narrative.
That's also true. So even the episodes that he's trying to, I'm trying to like do a formula in my head of what percent. If I took Dante Bosco, right?
Let's say Dante Bosco is in 55 episodes, and when he's in an episode, he's in half of that episode, right? So yeah. Now we're going from that to a guy who is in 15 episodes.
Not even that much. Probably because he's in the storm. He's in the finale. And he's in like season 3, episode 1.
Sprinkling of others.
So I would say probably on the safe side, 8.
So Chris, it is easily 10% of the other characters, if not a little less.
Yeah. So if he's in 8 episodes, but only speaks about 25% of the episode, right? And that's being generous. Pretty while Zuko generous. Speaks half of every episode, he's in, that's less than 5%.
Yep. The point where you're going is the point that I like, though, is like, when he appears, this villain could suck. And we have talked about how this villain on paper isn't great. But when he is on screen, he works because it's Mark Hamill. Because Mark Hamill is delivering it. I, to your point, Chris, cannot think of another person who would have this same kind of impact on his role. I don't think another person would make me feel immersed or that this villain is anything but just a distant placeholder. His presence still feels real to me even when he's not on screen because he's so well delivered. He's great.
Yeah. Like every, I don't think there's a single
pull your mic down. Pull your mic down.
Thank you. I don't think there's a single bad, well, there's a few bad scenes in that. I don't think there's a single not great scene with him in it. I'll say that. Like, man, when the eclipse happened, it's like, and Zuko gets that great speech, and Zuko's like, "I'm done." Like, and then he goes, "Howard, like you only address because it's a fool because it's an eclipse, the movie eclipse." And then Zuko starts to walk away, and it's like, "Don't you want to know what happened to your mother?" Like, man, he's so, like, I just wish I could. There is not enough. I don't think there's a single video of Mark Hamill doing voice acting for Ozai, which that's, I'm sure there's a video out there somewhere that exists. Like, on the Avatar's 30th anniversary, maybe they'll release a bunch of back behind the scenes stuff.
It's just going to be us watching Mark Hamill speak lines.
Yeah. And then the line we talked about last whatever week. Go ahead.
There's a similar thing too. You know, we talk about Iroh always being here, but selling you on whatever emotion anyway. You know, he doesn't. Ozai doesn't get too far off of his like normal tone or pitch either. There's just a cadence and a sort of a potency to his delivery that he doesn't need to. He doesn't have to like raise his voice a whole lot or get too like desperate sounding. It just it doesn't matter. It still works.
Yeah. Yep. And then yeah, his other line we talked about last week when he's talking to Aang. The one of those who don't talk much together. Yeah, where he's like, after generations of Fire Lords failed to find you, now the universe delivers to me as truly an act of providence.
Such a good like, line.
Like, it's so freaking cynical.
Chris,
and egotistical,
if you flip that on its head, like if you reverse it, it sounds like somebody arriving to the gates of heaven. And Peter is just you know what I mean? Like, it's a line that could be the most evil or the best sounding thing ever. Obviously, he makes it evil.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah, Mark Hamill. He's great.
Chris, I'm going to jump in and just say, my number one's Mark Hamill. That's ditto to the things that you said. He's great. This villain would be bad if what delivery there was wasn't great. He would be a bad villain. Or at least an uninteresting one.
I wonder what anyone else... Man, I wonder what is the history behind him getting cast? Like, I wonder if it was an accident or... Man, I don't have... Out of all the Avatar interviews and commentaries I've ever found, I don't think I can remember a single one of them talking about why they cast Mark Hamill. Though, I mean, I'm sure that Andre Romano, who is the voice actor, I'm sorry, not the voice director of so many legendary cartoons, like Batman the Animated Series, who she worked with Mark Hamill on, how did that happen? Like, she was just like, hey, I got this show, Nickelodeon. Or was like Mike and Brian like, you know who would really be good for this voice? Because every now and then I'll hear them talk about other characters. And they're like, oh yeah, we were thinking about like a voice like this person. Like when they casted...
like Mick Foley as the Boulder instead of getting the Rock.
Well, I think they tried to get the... But like it was either Ron Perlman as Fire Lord Sozin or oh my gosh, Clancy Brown as Long Fang. And they were like, yeah, a person, you know, like the voice of this character. And they were like, well, hey, why don't we just ask that person? I don't know the story behind Mark Hamill, but I know so many of those other stories behind those other characters.
Ron Perlman, though, I would venture to say that Ron Perlman's one of those guys I'd rather see live action. Like, he's got such a distinct look and stuff to him, and some of his gravitas feels lost.
I think he's great as Sozin. Like, I think he does a great job of voice acting, especially in that scene. It's like it's subtle. It's like, with you gone, all of my plans now are possible. Like, I don't know, there was a certain level that was a certain bar that was raised.
I'll have to go back. I've never deliberated on Sozin's lines that much, to be honest.
It's funny because I crap on Sozin so much. it's weird. I crapped on Sozin so much in the last couple episodes. It's weird for me to say something really positive about him. But I think I crap on that version of Sozin probably because I'm crapping on Roku as well.
Mutually.
Like, this is your best friend who's murderous and you can't see it. Anyway. Won't get into that.
I cheated and gave my one because it felt timely and appropriate. I didn't know our lists were going to line up that much. Anyway, your one.
My one, which no one saw coming. I did not spoil it.
You
at
definitely
all.
No one else could do this except for the other guy.
In my defense, Greg Baldwin, he's not my number one. Greg Baldwin. Okay, that sounded mean. I love Greg Baldwin, by the way. He does a great job. But Greg Baldwin, who is the voice of second voice of Iroh, still doesn't spoil who my number one is. Greg Baldwin, who's the second voice of Iroh, after unfortunately Mako passed away, has said all the time, he's like, I'm just a fake Mako. I'm just fake Mako. Like he went in and he's been Mako's essentially understudy. Like, even in Samurai Jack, he replaced, because Mako voiced Aku in Samurai Jack, he replaced him in that as well. So his voice, I think, is just kind of tailor-made to and I think he also dubbed him in some foreign film, dubbed over the voice that Mako did. I might be misremembering something. Anyway, number one is Mako. He did amazing job as Iroh, everything he said, plus more. It is a testament to his voice acting that he doesn't have those scenes where he can choose scenery, right? Like, everything is a little more subtle. He delivers it all with such sincerity, such heart, with such just genuineness. And a lot of that shines through in seasons 2 and 3. Season 1 has so many great stuff in it.
In a way.
Sorry.
He's a side character. He's a side character that through great writing and great voice acting is most people's favorite character, which, I don't know, I'm sure it's been done other places too, but when you think about Avatar The Last Airbender, you probably think about Iroh very quickly after that, but in the end, it's just because of the way that Mako brings him to life and makes him feel so real and tenable. And you want to be Zuko. You want to be with that guy, be his companion, especially early on when Zuko's being a little shit. And yeah, but I can't stress enough. Like, he's not the protagonist or the antagonist. He's another character that's making you feel those feelings.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we can talk about how great he is and tells about Sing Se. Let's see. He's so many words of wisdom that he gives. Lately, I've been so, I guess, enamored with the quote about inner strength, about how he tells Zuko, and this is more so a testament to the writing, but delivered greatly by Mako. Lately, I've been almost like a, might sound sacrilegious or not, almost like a Bible verse of like, oh yeah, that little thing in my head that I read is, you know, just that, you know, little quote keeps me from, I don't know, bad thoughts, or that sounds way too deep than it should talk. But just a quote about, don't allow yourself to fall into despair. Like, when you do that, and I'm misquoting it, but when you do that, you can, you know, give in to your lowest instincts. And like, your lowest, that word there of lowest instincts, that's like, to me, that's like the, you know, the term lowest instincts to me means like, you start giving in to the easy way out, or the bad thing to do that might make you feel good, but it's not a good thing. Like, but not that, or, you know, or it's like, or just like give up. That's like, nah, don't fall into despair. Anyway, that's a great line. He did a great job delivering that. He's just all around, just freaking knocked it out of the park. I could not, you know, imagine anyone else in that role. I could, but nonetheless,
Greg Baldwin would be the first person. Well, I think you already said it, would be the first person to tell you that he just did his best, and that it wasn't the same.
He did great. Yeah, he did great. But yes, that's my number one.
Chris, we just, because you added Dee Bradley Baker, but otherwise our lists were wildly similar. Who's your number six? Your first honorable mention.
Probably it was, my number six is Dante Bosco.
Okay.
It was close between him and Jack DeSena.
Okay.
Jackson is great.
Flip-flop, Dante Bosco, because I didn't think of Dee Bradley Baker, was essentially my six. Okay. There's certain times of the heavier emotion where I just don't quite buy Dante's performance as much. I mean, we're nitpicking here on purpose. But some scenes just don't hit me quite the same way. But here's my number six.
I'm really not sure that I could imagine. Like, I don't know what voice actor. Like, you know, I listen, you know, watch cartoons all the time, and I don't know if there's another voice actor who could play the angsty, lonely, angry, lost Zuko the way Dante does. If it's so well, like, I don't know. Just thinking about different voice actors for different things.
This is stupid, obviously, but just because we talked about Icky Vicky, I just put Timmy Turner's voice over top of Zuko to see what would happen. It's bad things. Bad things happen. Don't do that.
Oh, dang it. Why can't I think of her name? Oh, my gosh. I am blanking on her name. Who voices Timmy?
It's not the same lady who voices Ash, is it?
Tara Strong. Tara Strong. Who also voices Harley Quinn and a lot of stuff. She's also a legend, and I wonder if maybe Gary Payton, not Gary Payton. Gary, wait, is his name Gary Payton?
Is his name Gary Payton for real?
You know, there's a voice actor
who instead voices, of the glove, he is the voice.
Gary, he's a voice actor from Young Justice. He voices also Teen Titans. He voices Cyborg. He also voices Aqualad and Teen Titans. His name might be Gary Payton. It's something. It's gosh. Now I gotta look it up.
Gary Payton, voice actor. Carrie Payton.
No. Carrie
H. Payton. That's very close. That's very close.
But maybe now I'm looking at different voice actors. I'm like. Carrie Payton has a little rasp of his voice, and I feel like Dante Bosco also. So maybe that's the closest person I could see, but it will sound so different.
I don't have anybody else in mind, and I mean, I'm so bad at voice acting. If I'm not super, this is the most voice actors of any show that I would ever know, ever. But no, nobody else comes to mind for Zuko. Like I said, I was just splitting hairs and how I felt about the delivery. My number seven, or, you know, next honorable mention, whatever you want to call it, was Michaela Jill Murphy was my next one.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say the same-ish thing as Zuko, but maybe to a little bit bigger degree. It's just every once in a while, I just don't buy the delivery quite as much, but she's still stellar. I think you could. She's the first one from that 6 to 7. Like, I didn't have an issue knowing. Like, nope, she's an honorable mention that I want to talk about, but not in contention for the top five spots. Like, my list cut off at 6, essentially.
Some kind of guest voice actors that I think are great that didn't probably have as big of a role.
Ron Perlman.
Is Andre.
Obviously.
Yeah, Ron Perlman. There's Andre. So I don't know how to say his name, but I think. So, Gliuzzo, I butcher that, who plays King Bumi, who also voices Hakoda, and he does a great job. King Bumi's voice, that's a very distinct, good voice there. You know what I found out? Oh, crap, forgot about Jason Isaacs. Jason Isaacs is great as well.
He is. I've got him on my list. I left him off. It's very good. I don't know that it. I think other people could do that job. I think other people could have been decent bad guy Zhao, and we wouldn't feel like we're missing much, you know? He's another guy like Ron Perlman, where he has such a distinct look, and yeah, he's usually a bad guy. I think he's aware. I think he's good humored about it. But like, that's part of his appeal, is he kind of miss out by not having him on screen.
And I didn't realize this, that the, do you know who Robert Patrick is?
No, I do not.
That's okay. He is the, what, T-1000 Terminator?
Oh, in T2?
Yes.
Sick.
He voices Master Kendo.
Holy smokes, that's awesome. It's Robert Patrick,
you said? Oh. Yeah, Robert Patrick. And then I shout out to Hector Elizondo, voices Wong Tong.
I've never put together, Chris, that Robert Patrick is the same as the Robert Patrick that I know today from all the other things that he's in today.
God, yeah.
Yeah. Peacemaker, yeah. Tulsa King, which I didn't, that's fine, whatever.
True, I could have said Peacemaker.
The Marine. So, like, those are the things that I know Robert Patrick, even though I love T2. Honestly, T2 could be a top 20 movie for me. But I never put those pieces together.
I feel like he, like, did that movie, and then for some reason, in my head, he did nothing for years, and then showed up, like, just slightly, looked different, slightly older. And, yeah.
No, that's a great note that I would have never caught otherwise. Let me see. I'm Googling now. He is in, okay, that's funny. He's in Terminator 2, and then in 1992, he's in Wayne's World in a cameo where it's just literally like a one-line gag where they get pulled over by a cop, and he walks up and he holds up a picture of John Connor. He's like, have you seen this boy? And that's Robert Patrick. Forgot about that. And then he's in mostly not good stuff. He is in stuff. None of it is good. He didn't disappear. The world just treated him poorly, or casting choices did. Spy Kids. And his name in Spy Kids is Mr. Lisp. Chris, I don't know who that is. I know it's either a bad guy or a really mean way to point out a different ability somebody has.
I do want to say, with all due respect and admiration and whatever, Greg Baldwin is great as Iroh. Mm-hmm. I love his line delivery in it. He is, like, I know he is doing an impression of Mako, but I think he does such an amazing job, especially in that scene with Zuko, where he says I wasn't angry, I was sad because I thought you had lost your way. He delivers that line so great, and then even in Legend of Korra, he also comes back and does a really great job as Iroh there. So he's definitely carrying on the torch of Mako in a great way.
He does as good as you can expect. It's hard to lose somebody like Mako and not notice, you know. That's all.
True. You do notice. Yeah. It's not
fun fact, Chris, Robert Patrick also in two episodes of The Batman in 2008.
Hmm.
It didn't say who. It does. Qatar Hall and Hawkman.
Oh, okay.
Two episodes.
Yeah, that's one person.
In one episode of Psych, which is a TV show I like. He's actually been he's in Community. He's
some
like
respect.
He's in one episode of all of my favorite shows. He is head of parking in the analysis of the one with the poster board, and Annie just like wants the poster board put up, and then they have to go through all the red tape. They have to like disable firewalls so the janitor staff can watch porn, and they have to get rid of bulletin boards, and it's like it's a ridiculous episode. And he is the head of parking, and I can picture him in there. He's in one episode of all of my favorite shows, literally. That's amazing.
That was his goal.
Sean loves these shows. Also, I'm going to do 1,800 other shows that he doesn't watch, just in case.
Yeah. I feel like I should mention Zaitalizan. He is good. He's great in many lines. It sounds like I had a compliment. It's not. He was a 10-year-old kid. Like he did great. Or a 12-year-old kid.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with what he did. It just doesn't always hit as well. It doesn't. Every once in a while, he'll say something that kind of takes you out of the moment, and you remember that that's a kid, a small child doing that voice. Robert Patrick is... Sorry, this is a funny rabbit hole. Just go look at Chris later when you're bored. He's in Madden NFL 21 as Coach Red O'Brien. I guess that's a story mode coach or something. I have no idea. Anyway, sorry, unrelated. Who else is in my... Oh, like I said, I've listed Jason Isaacs just to shout him out. I intentionally cut off my honorable mentions after Michaela and Dante Bosco because I feel like everybody else is either like a step back or replaceable in some sense, maybe just from like a screen time. I wish I'd thought of D. Bradley Baker, Chris. That's brilliant. If I had to reseed it, would he take over? He would at least be like in with Dante Bosco at the top of my HMs at a minimum.
Yeah.
Anybody else? You need a shout out that I can go down a silly rabbit hole?
Oh, I meant. Oh, the voice of Ko, the face stealer. That guy. It's great.
Do you know what his name is?
I do not. George Takei. Great.
Oh yeah. He's so blatantly is George Takei though, in you know what I mean? Like it's not that it's bad, it's just like you know that's George Takei. Eric Todd
the Bison Buffalo.
Eric Todd Dellums is Ko the Face Stealer. He's also Erebos in The Dragon Prince.
Yes. A show that I have not gone back to watch.
I really did enjoy watching it, but I'm not drawn... I mean, I also don't have Netflix.
Well,
I'm not drawn to it.
It's not, like, done, right?
I don't know, because I stopped having Netflix quite some time ago. But it's just weird that I enjoyed it while I was watching it. But now the only reason I think I would go back to watch it is Jack DeSena. Because he's great in it. He carries that show, I think. I would argue.
So, according to Reddit, according to the upvotes and whatnot, so, posted stuff on Reddit, who are the best voice actors from Outlaw? The number one on here, D. Bradley Baker with 1,300 upvotes.
Nice.
Person said, D. Bradley Baker, ignoring the fact that he is a really good voice actor, regardless, all the other voice actors are voicing humans, not flying cows, the size of haul trucks. Mm-hmm. And then people said, place he gave a secret tunnel. And then the person who wrote the original comment said, see what I mean? I had no idea that was D. Bradley Baker. It's kind of funny.
Reminding you, this is one of my favorite episodes and one of my favorite characters in one of my favorite episodes. Chong might be his worst work. And that's a compliment, because Chong is exactly what Chong needs to be.
Oh, Zach got the second votes. The person put unpopular choice, but I'm going to give it to Zach. For only being a kid when he played Aang, he played him to perfection, and he really captured both his growth, spirit, and drama. They got 758 upvotes.
That's clearly just a popularity thing, right? Totally fine with what I did. It's not of the same degree of quality until you factor in that it's a really young kid. That's very impressive.
I will say this. It was nice meeting him. He was very pleasant and polite and very airbendery. Both apologized to each other about me thinking he was into sound design.
Oh, because of the misunderstanding of the one podcast the misunderstanding episode.
he's cool. Dante Bosco seemed to come in third, 234. Okay. And of course, there's other upvotes stuff. That's not a scientific voting thing, but just telling you the highest ones to get upvotes. Yeah. Mako. No, Mako got 466. And if I was to somehow figure out a way to add all this stuff up, I would say that D. Bradley is probably the number one.
I think that's
and then Mae Whitman. But D. Bradley, then Mako, then Mae Whitman also has very high up here on some upvotes. I thought this was going to be in order of the upvotes because it's not in great order. But and a lot of people mentioned Gray. Yeah.
Nice. Chris, I'm going to go to bed because I can feel my voice falling apart as I speak. And I mean that literally.
Do it.
I will. And see what illness we can contract tomorrow.
I'm also getting slightly sick. I'm going to dial some NyQuil. Actually, I'll wait because I don't want to go sleep too early. I'm going to dial some NyQuil and take a night.
It's 10:30. How is it too early?
I stay up to like 1 o'clock.
I used to be like you
every night.
I'm gonna pat myself on the back a little bit. My first doctor appointment of 2026 did not go well, but since then I have lost weight and it's going great. It is, and I've reduced carbs. But nobody tells you that when you reduce carbs, you sleep worse. And I already suck at sleeping, and it pisses me off.
That's why I sleep so good.
Because you love carbs, yeah.
I have my AWV. That's a insurance talk for annual wellness visit.
Okay.
I have mine next week.
Yeah, it gets you the reduced rate. You know what I mean? The AWV.
Yeah. I have mine next week, and I just know she's gonna be like, you need to lose weight, and your cholesterol's a little high. Oh, that reminds me. Dang it. Did I eat anything recently? I was supposed to fast.
Oh.
Wait, can I take NyQuil?
You can still get your blood tests non-fasting, and they try to factor that in. But NyQuil is full of sugar, so that will in. NyQuil is mostly sugar.
I'll just have to not.
That's what my doctor said. Mine was the A1C was pretty close, and then my family's got a history of diabetes. And so it's like, all right, whatever. Try to get less fat.
Everyone, PSA, go to the doctor.
Go to the doctor.
They won't stick their fingers in your butt. Misconception. I would say there's been...
Chris, we are well on our way to getting the finger in the butt. We're closer to that age.
I know. That doesn't happen at your checkup, though.
No, that's there not, was, yeah.
There was this, sorry, I'm keeping you from going to sleep. There was this this content creator / comedian, Kev on Stage, who just posted, hey, but he did this last week. Hey, just had my annual wellness visit. I don't know if he said that, but I'm saying black man, because he's black, and also black men tend to have they're high risk for certain things. And they're also oftentimes don't go to the doctor as much as other demographics do. So, hey, black man, make sure you go to the doctor, get checked up. And then people in the comment section who are either uneducated or whatever are just like, homie got a finger stuck up his butt. Now he wants us all to have a finger stuck up our butt. And they're just like, nah, just work out. And that will help you avoid the doctor. Like, they were just saying all these stupid things of like, and he was like, well, first of all, I don't know what got – y'all don't know what happens at your regular checkup. They do not stick fingers in the butt at your regular check-in.
None of that whatsoever.
And he was like
– there's a beautiful even if you, big window of time from like high school to 40 where your balls don't get fondled and your butt does not get touched at your regular checkup. Can confirm.
That's true. But there were just like so many of these like misconceptions and people out there saying like, nah, man, just work out and eat right. It's like, no, you could do all those things and still have issues. Mm-hmm. So you need to go to the doctor, especially early on. That's how you prevent things.
I'm reasonably active, at least as active as the average person. And I still was like borderline pre-diabetic. It's like, all right, you did this part, but you have to do the other part, which is not eat only carbs. I love carbs. Carbs are great. I miss. I'm not going full keto or anything. That's crap.
Oh, okay. Oh, gosh.
Just trying to cut out some of the unnecessary. What would Gio say if he were here? He'd be so upset. His diet's...
Yeah, I got you a pasta.
Mostly carbs. No, I'm not giving up pasta. I'll give up all the ancillary stuff first. Okay. Your
bread?
Beers and sodas. Bread wasn't... I eat a lot of sandwiches. I thought bread was going to be harder, and it hasn't. Everything I would eat bread in, I've just substituted salad. Well, that sounds bad. Not like PB&J, but like a ham and cheese or whatever. It's like, no, I just put ham and cheese on the salad, and that's fine.
I just figured out the best PB&J sandwich is with sourdough bread. Pretty good.
Because it's got just a little extra sweet tinge to it. Or sometimes when people like fold in like just a smidge of brown sugar or something into their sourdough, you know, it's like focaccia. You can custom it a bit. Anyway, go to the doctor. Losing weight's diet and exercise, unfortunately for me. And that's doctor time with Chris and Sean. Thanks for watching Avatar: The Last Podcasters. My name's Sean. That's Chris, aka the Objective Geek. And I'll put all the good stuff down in the description, like always. Please leave your positive interactions with us, your thumbs ups. Thumbs ups. This is a butt joke. It's probably not their thumb. I don't know. I haven't done it yet. Positive reviews, comments, bells, subs.
The camera there.
I have no idea, and I don't want to know until I have to know.
I mean, I do know a colonoscopy is... with the camera.
Is it like it's like the camera on a cord stick thing? Yeah, it's wild. The only thing I know about colonoscopies, I learned from John Mulaney. Camera
condom on. Not going raw.
Good. It's not like a full, disposable camera. No, all my medical that check. Knowledge is from
you look
John
different.
Way. Let's do it. And I think about that every time I get on airplanes. Anyway, yeah.
Sometimes I get nervous on airplanes. Just go.
It's one of my favorite bits of all time. Absolutely. And he was wearing glasses to show that time had passed. All right, we'll see you next time. Have a good one, everybody.